for tuning in to this Upsell show. I'm your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF. Today, we are coming to you from studio with Brian Yaninick, try to spell that one, Guaranteed Rate, our proud sponsor, and Alex Yoder with Dorman Real Estate Management. Thank you guys so much for coming on and being here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So we want to go ahead and just kind of let Alex take the reins here. It sounds like you've got a good amount of details and information to dive into with us, all things legislation on property management. But just real quick, your property management background, who are you? What do you do? What's your portfolio look like? What is Dorman Real Estate?
So my name is Alex Yoder. Dorman Real Estate, we manage about 800, mostly single family homes.
Holy cow. Yeah. Right, what's your average property management company got, like as far as doors, would you say?
In El Paso County, probably 200 to 400.
Wow. So you're killing it.
Yeah, twice as big.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty well, I think. So we also have a division that does HOAs. We have about 60 communities. And we do commercial buildings as well. My brother actually runs that division of our business.
Okay.
And then we just started doing vacation rentals as well.
So is Dorman Real Estate, is that family owned and operated?
No, actually Todd Dorman, my now business partner, started it about 12 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody has heard of the name McGinnis Real Estate from back in the day, but McGinnis was kind of a local Remax in Colorado Springs for a long time. And they're no longer around, but Todd bought their management portfolio. And that's kind of how we got started. So we had 200 doors in El Paso County 12 years ago.
Wow. That's wild. So good things take time.
They do. Yes.
So as far as HOAs, what do you do for homeowners associations and managing them? What does that look like? And I feel like you're not going to make many friends here.
Yeah, people don't like HOAs. There's truth to that. Fortunately, I'm not involved in that side of the business. So
that's good.
Yes.
So, you know, I had a client stiff an HOA one time over a $7,000, a special assessment. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you guys should have millions of dollars in your account. Like, I'm not going to pay you $7,000 for this insurance claim and the deductible that you should have money for. It ended up being $30,000 later on his payoff,
yeah.
You know, that was owed to the HOA between the late fees and the interest and the attorney's fees and everything else. So I'm happy for you that you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, property managers, rental managers are kind of the rejects, or at least they used to be, of the real estate world for a long time. That's kind of changed a little bit now that rents are up and stuff. But HOA managers are kind of the rejects of that we refer to, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's a tough business to do HOA stuff.
It really is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so for commercial properties, all types of commercial you guys manage?
So we manage office, retail, some medical.
Okay.
So
in other words, Alex knows what he's doing, right? And you're going to bring us some good information today.
Yeah, I've been doing single family stuff for about 16 years. So since I was about 21 years old, around your age.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day.
Hey, look at us.
Yeah.
Wow, I can see you 21 and hustling.
Yeah, I was actually the maintenance coordinator for a different company.
Oh, wow.
Back then, and then I joined Dorman about 12 years ago.
Wow.
And then partnered with Todd about 3 years ago.
Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So you're I wanted to well vested.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was hoping to dig into like the rental market and
Let's do that.
All kinds of other stuff.
What do you got for us?
Yeah, yeah. So the rental market, you know, has been crazy. Anybody who's looking for rentals through the spring, summer.
It's been a nightmare.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough.
100%.
And
a lot of places won't even accept you if you don't have a 700 or a 750 credit score, right?
I mean, some are more strict like that. We have a 600 minimum.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good to know.
Yeah, but we're pretty hardline. A lot of companies will do like, you know, if you have lower credit score, you can pay a double deposit or you get a cosigner. We don't do that. So we're strict in that way, but we have a reasonable. So your average El Paso County credit score is like a 690 something. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of very well qualified people and, you know, tenants as well that just aren't so good with credit.
Yeah.
It's a whole game all on its own.
It's funny when I hear clients will come in, like say they can't get a house under contract. I'll just go rent. I'm like, good luck.
Yeah.
It's just as competitive.
Yeah, you're going to lose like $1,000 in your $50 application fees that you submit.
I mean, yeah, you should plan to lose a couple application fees.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in previous years, we track monthly, quarterly stats, and in previous years, you know, days on market in the spring, summer is like 15 days. Days on market in the winter is like 30 days. But this past spring, summer has been like 8 and 9 days on market.
Wow.
In the spring, summer, which is like crazy.
That's insane.
And even as a property manager, I don't like that, right? Because I'm on the receiving end of people being really pissed off that they keep getting declined for properties.
And that's not a good feeling, you know. It's always our goal to get someone into a home.
That's right.
Everyone here, right? Yep.
Is it one application with you as a company, though? And then if something pops up, they got to get that house? Or is it literally one app per house?
See, that's what's hard is, you know, I'd say maybe 5% of management companies in Colorado Springs will do first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm of the opinion that's kind of a detriment to the client. I mean, if I get somebody who is an 800 score applying, you know, five minutes later than the 601, I feel like I'm not doing the right thing for my client by not approving the 800. So we do best qualified. And so you may apply, but somebody could compete with you.
But that'll
Which
count
I like.
All 20 homes, though, right? Like if something I'm looking for a house in September, I'm not going to have to apply. That application fee, and how long is it good for?
Yeah, so if you qualify, again, this is most companies, if you qualify but lose out on X property, you can typically, with most companies, move that over to a different property.
Oh, that's
so, okay,
good to
that
know.
One didn't work out, but I like this one too. Usually they can run it for that one too. So.
And how long is your approval for?
Our approval is usually 30 days. So it's usually a month.
So you bring a repull a new credit report at the end of 30 days and have to reapply after the 30 days?
Pretty unheard of. Usually if we don't find something for them in the first week or two, they go apply somewhere else.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Please find me something.
Yeah. I mean, in the spring, summer, we may have 50 listings on the market. So it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, it's been an insane market. That has changed quite a bit in the last, you know, 30 to 60 days. So we were at crazy market, everyone losing their mind. And it kind of feels like almost overnight it's down to kind of it's normalized and things have kind of gotten back to what we normally see in kind of a winter time frame.
So what would you say is like a quote unquote stable market with some equilibrium behind it in the property management world as far as like months of inventory go? I don't know if that's even a stat that you guys look at.
Yeah,
for
I don't,
resale, it's huge.
Yeah, I don't look at that. I just look on days on market. It's the most telling thing to me.
Okay.
So I pretty much just track days on market and like median rents and stuff.
Okay. How much have you seen rents go up in like the past year?
It's been insane. I mean, again, spring, summer, it almost felt like for a minute there, you could list it for anything and it would rent.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may pull comps at $2,000 a month. Well, like, let's throw it up for $25,000 and it'd be gone in 2 days. So
that's wild.
Obviously, the market dictates what things are worth. And so
I've been having a hard time like developing a comparative market analysis for all of my listings or just even, you know, helping buyers with comps. Because if I have a comp that closed yesterday, right, and we're listing today, it's already out of date because they went under contract a month ago.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if you're running into the same issues with property management on that.
Yeah, we are. I mean, if I sign up a new client, like I've had several this week, and they'll say, hey, my neighbor leased out their property for $2,200 a month in June. Like, well, that's not a good comp, right?
Because
they could have thrown anything up and it would have gone for that. So we need to lean on comps that were not during that spring, summer. Yeah. Maybe even some from like last year. So
if you have an investment property, the best time to rent it out as far as getting the most amount of money in your rents is probably going to be spring, summer, would you say?
I would agree with that, but it's kind of a mixed bag. One of the challenges that we've seen with spring, summer is that the turnovers are typically longer. So if you do have a vacancy and the tenant moves out, it's going to take longer to get things flipped. This year has been crazy, of course, because every handyman and their mother is understaffed.
That's
so
true.
And
everyone's getting unemployment too.
Yeah.
You know? Why bother to work?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, usually we could, back in the day, we could get it done in 3 to 5 days or something. Now it's like, you know, 3 weeks to flip a property. So, it's
really?
Kind of a, it's
3 weeks?
In some cases, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
We have a guest here in the studio that's doing some funny things. If you guys have not checked us out on our YouTube channel, you've got to check us out on our YouTube channel because we have a very open studio here. We're located at the mall, and every now and again we get people that'll wander in and joke around, and right now we've got one, so we're all laughing about that a little bit. But anyways, to get us back on track, Alex, you wanted to talk about the CLC a little bit. What is the CLC?
Yeah, that's really one of the biggest things I wanted to convey here coming today. It's the Colorado Landlord Legislative Coalition.
Okay.
And so if you go to ColoradoLandlordLegislativeCoalition.org, that's our website. And it's basically an organization that was formed for political action a little over a year ago. And it's really the first organization that's fighting for small mom and pop landlords in the state.
That's huge, especially with COVID.
Oh yes. It couldn't have, this organization could not have come at a better time.
So when did CLC, I guess, come to fruition?
So basically it was officially formed like December of last year.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we're brand new. I'm serving as the vice president this year.
Wow.
My buddy Lyle Haas out of Denver is the president. And then we got some other Colorado Springs folks that are involved on in various levels.
So what are some of the main issues or topics that you guys are working on right now?
Well, so if you go back 20 years, the number of bills that we've seen, it was like, you know, you might have seen one bill in the previous 20 years. But in the last 2 years, we've seen more bills come forward, kind of targeting landlords, if you will, than we had previously seen in that 20-year period, right? So
you say targeting, how so?
Well, basically creating bills that restrict all kinds of things. So I think COVID was a really good example because we saw bills on, you know, moratoriums and this kind of stuff. We had a Colorado moratorium for a minute there in addition to the federal moratorium where you couldn't remove anybody from your property for almost any reason. So whether it was non-payment of rent or not, or they had 20 pit bulls and were pissing off the neighbors, you know, there's nothing you could do for
what about a meth lab?
Meth lab would be considered a substantial breach of lease. So we could always evict. Okay. We could always evict for that reason.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But
so there's a threshold.
There is a threshold. Meth lab is the threshold. Yeah.
Okay. That's our cutoff, man.
The tenant goes to the mall and comes back with a meth lab in his house. Right, yeah. You're like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one way to get evicted, right?
So that Colorado moratorium was slated to come back because it had gone away. It was going to come back around the May-June timeframe, but because of organizations like the CLC, we were able to stop that from happening. And
thank God.
Yeah, so when the federal moratorium went away, it was somewhat back to business as usual.
So did you have a lot of your owners doing forbearance on their mortgages?
I really didn't.
Were your tenants still paying or...?
For the most part. I mean, we saw like a 0.5% increase in delinquency when COVID first hit, which we expected to be a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, other markets that have like a lot of C-class properties saw a much bigger hit.
Yeah.
So it's market dependent too, but it definitely wasn't as bad as some thought. So
that's definitely good.
Houston, there was like a 32-unit apartment complex. I think all 32 tenants got together and literally said, we're not paying. So they met with the landlord and said, hey, sorry, we're not.
Alex is about to have a stroke.
This is why I have no hair. Like it's been insane.
Oh dang, that is not a good situation to be in. Well, I mean, and when it comes to forbearance, I call forbearance COVIDing your mortgage, right? Because I'm super professional like that. But I had a client that COVIDed their mortgage, if you will, and did the forbearance, and they did it for 8 months. Okay. And so when they bought the property 3 years ago, they purchased their house at 325. They did 8 months of forbearance, okay? Yeah. Their final payoff, okay, was $325,000, okay? Yeah. The same amount of money owed on their loan after 8 months of forbearance as the day they bought the property. Walking into COVID, they owed $305,000. So it literally cost them $20,000 to do 8 months of forbearance.
That's why a lot of them were afraid of it was, and some of the LSPs were saying the full balance is now due on that final day. So it's like, why am I going to roll the dice on that? You know,
right.
I mean, you have the occasional mom and pop that literally needs that rent to pay their mortgage, and that does
exist.
They can't,
Or people that have a portfolio that's maybe too large and they don't have enough reserves, right? I think it's always good to have 6 months of operating costs, you know, for any business, but a lot of people just don't have it. They get the
money and they just spend to give you an idea, again, we manage about 800 properties. 76% of them are owned by one owner with one house. So you're not talking about a lot of big investors. Most people that own real estate that are renting to the public have one home.
What do you think is like the most common investment strategy that you've typically seen as far as, you know, having a property management business and your owners? Like, how do they get into property management?
Do you mean how do they kind of position it from one home to multiple homes? Or
yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, do they usually buy a single family owner occupied, and then when they go to buy the next house, they decide to keep that one, and it becomes the investment? Is that typically what you see?
Yeah, because most people don't have that 20 or 25% down on those on those investment properties.
I mean, in my opinion, that's the way to go. Like, absolutely. Cash is king. If you can keep it in your pocket, do it.
100%.
Yeah.
If you can, the least amount you can pay down is ultimately your best bet on the investment front. But yeah, so they'll buy the one house, move into the next one, buy another one, move into the next one. And then in my opinion, what you should be doing is then using your own real estate, your own equity that you've gained, to now reposition that for other investments, right?
100%.
Borrow against yourself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, go big.
So. Like a HELOC or a cash out refi or maybe a 1031. And that's something that's so cool, a 1031 exchange. I mean, you can probably touch base on this pretty well, but if you own a house here in Colorado and you'd rather have a house in Florida to spend half the year in because you decide to get old a little bit and have some fun on the beach, like a 1031 exchange is a phenomenal opportunity. Yeah. Brian, you want to dive into that a little?
Yeah, basically what a 1031 exchange is, whenever you've owned a rental property and you sell it, you normally would have to pay capital gains. If it's less than 12 months, it's called long-term capital gains, and you're taxed at your current tax bracket. So let's just pretend that you're, you know, making good money. You might be taxed up in the 30% range. So if you made 100 grand, you owe Uncle Sam a check for $30,000. Well, if you sell it through a 1031 exchange, you're basically deferring that capital gains to the next property and the next property and the next property. You can just keep doing it over and over and over again. And then so you just take that full 100 grand, roll it into the house that Seven talked about in, say, Florida, and then that becomes a rental property. And then a lot of people have some strategies where they'll do that for, say, 10 or 20 years. Then they actually move into that rental property,
mm-hmm.
and they season it. It becomes their primary residence. And so a lot of times, depending on what your CPA says, you could actually wash the entire tax gain because it became your primary residence.
Two out of 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Two out of 5 years is your primary.
Yeah, pretty neat stuff out there.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's an incredible opportunity. I mean, and there are some rules associated with a 1031 exchange. Like, I don't think that you can buy a property for less than you are selling your property for.
Correct. And the loan amounts too. So yeah, if you have a house for 300 grand, you can't go buy one for two. You've got to keep going equal or greater than, I believe. I think even if it's like a dollar more, it's fine. But you do have to escalate that going forward.
Right. So, I mean, you could roll it into two properties instead of one or maybe three. I've
land,
seen people do
condos,
that.
Condos, apartment buildings.
Anything that's
malls,
an investment, a like property.
Like property. Some people used to call it like. They literally had it so entrenched in their head that a single family ranch home had to be purchased with another single family ranch. It's not. It's an investment property.
Yeah.
No matter what it
is. Yeah.
Apartments to office buildings to skyscrapers. Yeah, you name it.
And Alex, you're probably pretty well-versed in the whole 1031 realm as well.
I mean, we don't do any sales, but we have a lot of clients that do those.
Correct. So you're fairly familiar with it.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you guys have 1031 exchange questions, talk to your property management company. They're going to be familiar with it. Talk to your lender. Talk to your real estate broker. And when it comes to property management, Alex, just to kind of close out here a little bit, as director of Dorman Real Estate, is there anything that you would like our listeners to know about Dorman? You know, maybe some management fees that you guys typically charge that are fairly standard in our marketplace, how to contact you, you know.
I can talk about that.
Yeah.
So we charge 10% of the gross rent each month for our management fee. If you spend a whole day calling every company in town, you're probably going to hear that from a good chunk of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say it kind of ranges between 8 and 12.
Okay.
Leasing fees to place new tenants are all over the place.
Okay.
Some companies charge percentages. We charge a flat base of $400 to.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really affordable.
We're pretty competitive. Some companies will do 50% of 1 month's rent. So if you imagine your average single family home is $2,000. So 50% is $1,000. So we're competitive for that.
Yeah. But, Alex is going to tell everyone to rent, and we're going to tell everyone that they need to buy so they don't have to pay their landlord's mortgage.
So if I was a tenant, a prospective tenant, what am I looking at? Cash out of pocket. Like, you know, if I'm moving here from whatever, Texas, I need to rent. What am I looking at to get into a rental property? Like, you know, first month, last month, application fees, all that.
Yeah. So the first thing, the first thing to know, I think, is in this market, first and last is not really a thing.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting.
Typically it's first month's rent and deposit, which is typically equal to 1 month of rent. So 2 months of rent,
right?
Plus any appropriate fees. Typically there are pet fees. Those are all over the place too. Some companies will do deposits. Some companies will do fees. We just do fees. One of the things that we actually do for
Alex is like, we have all the fees.
We do the fees, yeah. One of the things we do for all of our clients, for all of our owner clients, is that if there's pet damage, we'll actually pay out up to $2,500 of that damage.
Oh,
so it's something that we do for all of our clients. So
That's amazing.
Of course, we want tenants that have pets that don't cause that damage, but if they do, we'll cut a check. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's definitely awesome. And you guys, if you do have a property management company for our listeners, or not a property management company, if you have an investment property, hire a property management company. It's going to mitigate your liability and the headache involved with being a landlord. I'm sure Alex can testify that it can be a little trying at times.
Yes. I have some pretty funny stories about owners who tried to self-manage and they were like, please God, let me hire you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like literally crying at their dining room table. Like
I did
everything
wrong.
Please fix this situation.
Oh yeah. That's
brutal. You
probably
have that with your FSBOs too, probably, right? You referenced someone that was trying to sell their own home because they can do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they're getting ready to shoot themselves in the foot on losing tens of thousands of dollars trying to sell their own place because they don't know what they've got, you know?
I got
and
one
it's
right
not
now.
On the professional market.
I got one right now where the self-managing owner put in a tenant who was the daughter of some neighbor, and now they're dealing with drive-by shootings and all kinds of craziness.
Wow.
And they called me, and they're like, I made a mess of this. Please help me fix it.
And at that point, you're like, yay.
This is one of those ones where I wouldn't normally take it on, but it was referred by an agent friend. I'm like, okay, I'll help you.
Yeah, right.
My staff hates me, but
if you fall into that kind of category, you've got a property like that, call your friends and make them call their friends in higher places.
Get an agent to like lean into the PM to get that.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Well, Alex, what's your website? What's a good contact phone number for you? Email, anything like that? That way people can reach out.
Yeah, it's dormanrealestate.com.
Okay.
And our phone number is 719-213-9100.
Okay.
So that's the best way to reach us.
And when you call in, you know, be sure that you tell them you have a bunch of pit bulls and you have a 200 credit score and you want a place to rent.
Yes. We'll refer you to our competitor. No problem.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here on the show today. We really appreciate you and the guidance and insight that you have. If you guys have any questions, legislation, property management, do reach out to Alex. Anytime I have questions on all things property management, he is always my first call. Yeah. He's very, very involved in this market. And then obviously, if you have lending questions, talk to Chris, not Brian. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. How much time do we have, Seven? Because I have a question for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Or maybe a quick comment. So for any self-managing landlords, if you just want to stay in the know, we have a Facebook group called the Colorado Springs Landlord Forum.
Yes, that's
and people
a good group.
Can join that. I do videos. We post, you know, if you're looking for a vendor, a roofer, a window guy, whatever it is, it's a really good way to stay in the know. And I'm not going to push PM on you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a resource for
landlords. It is a very good resource. And what is that Facebook page again?
It's Colorado Springs Landlord Forum.
Okay, all right. Be sure to follow it. Check it out. Contact us if you have any questions. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Seven. Appreciate it.
All right. We have 3.5 minutes. What am I looking at there?
I don't know what you're looking at.
Oh, all right.
Tell you.
Oh. All right. I
lied. Yeah, he made me nervous with all of his little like things. I thought he was like, cut. We're way over. But I was like, I still have 2.5 minutes left.
Oh, see, look at that. Well, good. We have more time to share together. We're reworking the show a little bit. We'll do it on the next one, yeah. Yeah, but this one I wanted to focus on all things property management.
I mean, I got more legislation that didn't
pass. Yeah, hit us.
Horrifying legislation that didn't pass.
Yeah, what's some horrifying legislation that
so
didn't pass?
One of the things that was in one of the bills that was removed because of organizations like the CLLC was if you were in an eviction case, you as a tenant could have requested a jury trial.
Really?
And if you can imagine if every tenant being evicted could request a jury trial, imagine how much time and cost. I mean, sometimes jury trials can take 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So as a landlord, for landlords, that would have been completely devastating.
Yeah.
Especially for these small guys to cover rent for 6 to 12 months.
I mean, it was almost safer with COVID to have a short-term rental than a tenant right. or a year-long lease.
Yeah. So that's one of many things that was removed from the bills that were passed this year. So
how'd you get that? Like, how did you guys fight that?
Well, we partnered with the Apartment Association, the Realtor Association, and basically all of us plus our lobbyists kind of joined forces to push back against that.
That's
to bend the ear of the various people who are voting on the bill.
That's good.
To try to get it to be a little bit more balanced.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and there's so much that goes into real estate, investing in real estate, owning real estate as a whole, there's so much to it. But you guys have got to understand that there are people that actively fight and advocate for you and your interests as a property owner every single day. And if you do own property, it is very important that you keep up to speed on all of this stuff. So again, that Facebook group that you had mentioned is...
It's Colorado Springs Landlord Forum.
Yeah.
And make sure to join the CLLC. If you're a landlord, you should absolutely be a member. It's only $60 for the year.
Okay.
We have some members that are paying $6,000 for the year, but you can choose your service, your level that you're going to join at.
So what is the different levels?
So it's basically there's like a base membership, which is $60 for the year.
What does that usually get you?
Well, it's really just, it's not so much as it, you get more stuff on various tiers. It's just, you're contributing more so we can make a bigger impact. So a lot of these big management companies where if a bill passed, it would really hurt them, are like, I'll cut you a check gladly because you're probably going to save me a lot of money.
Okay. So it's kind of like a fundraising thing to protect everybody.
Yeah.
So you guys are ganging up on the big bad wolves in the real estate world.
Yes.
Telling everyone that they don't have to pay their rent.
Yeah.
I like it.
I just saw one of my guys that I've done a lot of rentals for, he's going through the eviction process right now. He actually helped a lady, got her a job. She was his cleaning lady, and then it turned into he got her a place to rent, and then she just like literally just quit paying rent and quit going to work and doesn't want to pay now. And so now he's going through that crazy nightmare process of trying to get someone evicted. And he's like, I can't believe how difficult this is. It's just
Do you have any tips for that
nightmare process? Hire an attorney. Eviction attorneys are the cheapest attorneys you can get.
Really?
You're going to pay $300 to $500 to get an eviction completed.
No way.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you probably have a couple on standby?
Ken Davidson's my guy for Colorado Springs.
Okay.
Pete Muccio out of Denver is good too.
Okay. Fantastic. Great. That's definitely good to know for sure.
Yeah, don't do it alone. I mean, you could you know, miss dot one eye and it'll completely kill the entire thing. You've now wasted a month. Now you're in front of a judge and he tells you to restart. So you don't want to do that on your own.
No, definitely not. I mean, and again, like, there's a lot of liability in real estate. There just is, period. Doesn't matter how you cut it. So mitigate it. Do yourself a favor. Hire a professional.
There you go.
I love it. On that note, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. You guys, I'm Seven Murdoch with the SubSell Show, your host, with our special guest, Brian Yaninek. Again, try to spell that one. And Alex Yoder. Thank you guys so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.